I mean, we live in an instant gratification society. We want results immediately, and we want to find the shortcuts. And I'm okay with finding shortcuts where it makes sense. There's no reason to unnecessarily take the long path when you can achieve results in a shorter amount of time and be more effective with your time. But what gets lost in the shuffle is the daily actions that we have to take and how there's a compounding effect when we take those daily actions.
You are listening to Hooked on Startups, where every week you'll hear from some of the most talented, inspiring, and successful entrepreneurs who share their real life stories, how they overcame challenges and failures, and how they mastered success. Get ready for some of the best business tips, tricks and tactics, and some frank, unscripted discussions. Here's your host, Matthew Sullivan.
So I'm joined today by Joe Fairless. Joe, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks a lot, Matt. Nice to be on the show. Looking forward to it.
So Joe is a full-time real estate investor, but you're also host of the world's longest-running daily real estate podcast, which is the best real estate investing advice ever. I mean, that's quite an accolade. So your career started in New York City as the youngest vice president of an advertising agency, and you're now running a real estate company that controls over $135 million worth of real estate. So your podcasts, you host distinguished guests like Robert Kiyosaki and Barbara Corcoran. You're the author of two books, or one book rather, with two volumes. It's been so popular, which is the best real estate investing advice ever. So that's, again, a huge achievement in its own right. And, just delighted to have you on the show. So did I miss anything out?
I've got a beautiful fiance, and we are getting married next month.
Oh, fantastic. It doesn't say that here. I just want you to know. I didn't miss that out on purpose. Oh, that's exciting. Well, congratulations for that.
Yes. Thank you.
But the thing that really leaps out of the page is you've been incredibly successful at building a brand. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you're running a $135 million real estate portfolio. So very few people that I've come across have managed to do those two things, mm-hmm. Which is to have an understanding of how to build a brand, but at the same time, knowing how real estate works to build that sort of portfolio. So where is the true passion? Is it real estate, or is it branding?
Probably neither. I'd say the true passion is being able to deliver on helping others. And that comes to fruition in the podcast. It also comes to fruition in real estate investing. It also comes to fruition in volunteering. And I have a give back component in everything that I do. So I'd say that's the true passion.
And it's funny because the more people I speak to, the common thread is this element of actually doing something worthwhile and doing something of value rather than chasing the dollar. Mm-hmm. And is that something that you discovered as you went through your journey, or is it something that you had in mind at the very beginning?
As I went through my journey, it's a lot easier to talk about that philosophy when you have money.
Yes.
Because yes. When you don't have the money, it's tough to really internalize, give, and you will receive. Well, you need to receive immediately, or so you think, and you really want to go, try and get some money and make things happen. Fortunately, and you mentioned, the $135 million portfolio that my business partner and I have with our investors, and the building the brand thing. Well, fortunately, they're one in the same, and here's why. The podcast that you mentioned, Best Real Estate Investing Advice Ever, that is my brand, and I have a best ever conference, the best ever books, etc. And that directly ties into the $135 million because it's on real estate. I am learning. I've interviewed over 1,000
Yes.
Real estate investors across the world, most of them being in the United States. So I'm learning along the way. I'm able to ask questions that I want to ask of them. I'm building my network, and that helps my business grow. And it also gives back. It gives back tremendously because it's the world's longest running daily real estate podcast. No one else in the world has done a daily real estate podcast as long as I have. And I don't even know of anyone who does a daily one in the first place.
Yeah.
And so there's a natural give back component integrated into my business. And I give back in many other ways, but this is just one example. And as a result, I have structured the business. And believe me, I didn't think about this as strategically as I can look back on it now.
Yeah.
But fortunately, I structured it so that the podcast is a foundation. It gives back to it now thousands and thousands of people every day. And it allows me to benefit for, you know, any number of ways.
And that's tremendous in so many ways. But the thing that really struck me there is just the volume of people that you've spoken to and the amount of knowledge that you can actually gain from that. And I'm sure that, see, what I was thinking about, I was reading through some of your information that you have online, and it's all, you know, fabulous. But the fact that you're not afraid to take people on, I mean, there was one particular article that you mentioned where one of the authors of a podcast, of a blog article suggested that you pay your mortgage off as early as possible, because that's the smartest thing to do. And it strikes me that the information that you have is very valuable because it comes from so many different sources, and that's the value of what you have. It's not really just the world according to one person. You know, yeah. It is this collection, and that's the value of what you're doing. And so one of my other thoughts is really where do you want this to go? Are you sort of caught between two stools, as it were? Do you feel on one side you want to grow this huge real estate business, but on the other side you've tapped into so much of this information? Do you feel driven to go more down the education route, or can you do them both?
So two things. I'll answer your question directly in a second, because I want to touch on one thing that you mentioned before that, and that is that the information comes from different sources. So true, and it helps. So I was having dinner with a couple friends last night who listened to the podcast, and they said, yours is one of the unique things about your podcast is that you talk about 10% of the time in your interviews, whereas most interview hosts talk about 30% of the time. And I'm simply asking questions and trying to get as much good, actionable insights from the guests. Yeah. And it's coming from, as you said, a bunch of different sources. And I usually just let them run with it, but I guide the conversation if they say something that, you know, might not be sure. Accurate, then yeah. I might call them out on it. And so that's one part of it. And then now to answer your question, I mean, as far as what the focus is, well, fortunately, the podcast is so let me back up. My business is I buy apartment communities with investors and we share in the profit. So in order to do that, I need money and I need deals.
Yeah.
And my business partner is primarily focused on the deals part. And yeah. He has 10 years underwriting and doing asset management of over $500 million worth of apartments.
Yeah.
And so my responsibility is bringing the money.
Yeah.
And the podcast is a valuable component to help bringing in the money, because when people come across me and they Google my name and then they listen to the podcast, they get to know me better, faster.
Yeah.
And so the way I see this headed is the way it's been going all along. And that is the podcast will continue to grow and I'll be able to continue to expand my influence within a group of people that are, you know, I'm looking to influence.
And the important thing is that the podcast builds so much credibility, because if I was investing with you, I would have confidence, because I know that if you've spoken to 1,000 people, you know, you have this 1,000-yard, you know, BS detector, basically. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the critical things. And one of the things that really is a big issue for real estate investors in the early stages is they don't know who to trust. They don't know who to work with. And I think that's, you know, again, very similar to a lot of businesses. So if we start to talk about startups, where do you start? And that's the same sort of question. This is something we want to do. But talking about brand and how you build this following, when you started out with your podcast, did you have any idea that you would be, here we are 2-3 years later, you'd have 1,000 episodes, you'd have the world's largest or the longest running. Did you have that in mind?
I did not, no. I just happened to think of it, I think maybe 8 months ago. I was like, wait a second, I've been doing this every day for, 700 days at the time, yeah, or whatever. I don't think anyone else in the world is doing this every, yes, single day. And I look back and nothing close. And the important part for everyone listening who is wanting to build their brand, they need to have a thought leadership platform. And that can be a podcast. It can be a YouTube channel. It can be a blog. It could be even an in-person meetup. As simple as that, an in-person meetup. And here's the key to having a thought leadership platform that's successful. You interview people. Yeah. Because when you interview people, even if you have no experience at all, you are associated to their experience because you're bringing them in, you're herding all the cats, you're getting people rounded up to listen to this person, and you're going to be elevated to a similar level as the person who has the experience who's speaking to people. And when you do that, you know, you're a product of the five people you most closely surround yourself with. When you do that, you're going to be surrounding yourself with high achievers within whatever field that you're focused in, and you're able to get more access to opportunities than you would otherwise. Plus, you're going to be able to learn a lot along the way.
And you're talking about leverage. So what you're saying is, as an individual, you need the power of the crowd. You need, and one of the things as an entrepreneur that I found is you tend to be very isolated. You tend to work in a silo because that's just the way that people are. And I've come across this time and time again where the clear advice coming from everyone I speak to is work with other people. You know, use their networks, use their credibility. And that's a great piece of advice. But the other thing I wanted to talk about is the approach to social media. You see so many things that you really want to watch. And there are so many other things that you just want to turn off within 5 seconds of switching it on. And yours is the stuff that is addictive. And why is that?
Well, I'd say that when you listen to, well, first, when you're recommended by a friend or a social influencer like yourself, when someone like you or a friend recommends my podcast to real estate investors or people who are interested, then you go in with a higher level of credibility. So the number one influencer of purchase intent is word of mouth referrals.
Yeah.
So first, most of my listeners are referred by someone else at this point, and they come across my stuff. And then it's daily, every single day. And when you listen to someone every single day, you develop a relationship with them. I don't know how to define that relationship because, yep, you're listening, but and you're not having the one-on-one conversation, but I can tell you, 9 out of 10 times when I jump on a call with someone who listens to my podcast, they'll say right at the beginning, I feel like I already know you. I listen to your show.
Yes.
And so why is it addicting? Well, I don't know if it necessarily is. I'm glad to hear that you think so. So I'll go with it. Yeah, it's addicting. And the reason why, if that is the case, is because we're referred to it, so there's a higher degree of social credibility initially, and they are exposed to it on a constant and consistent basis. Therefore, they develop a relationship.
But I completely agree. But I think it's one more thing, which is just a genuine approach. So, in other words, there are many people who you see presenting themselves on social media, and it's not them, it's some sort of persona that they're creating. And I think you can come across as being genuine, warts and all. And I think that's a very endearing characteristic, and it's something that makes it very easy to relate to someone. And that's something that, again, I've learned, which is you can't stage manage these things. You can't try and hide the bits of you that you don't like. If you want to be out there, then you have to really be you and, you know, in your entirety, which comes back to what you said at the beginning, which is about, you know, giving back and relating to people. Because I think after a while, I'm very conscious that I'm doing all the talking here, actually. So please feel free to leap in and after what you said.
I shouldn't have mentioned that.
No. I'll think about it.
Now I'm in your head.
Yes, but I want to go back. So let's rewind the clock. Let's go back. You're sitting in your office in New York. You know, you're having this stellar career as a you know, the youngest VP in this ad agency. How do you manage all those things? So if I'm an entrepreneur and I've got this job, which I love, how do you find the bandwidth to make that transition? What's your advice to somebody in that situation?
Yeah, anyone who has a job that they, you know, they're making money, but they know there's something more and they want to start their own thing, then I've been there. And what I recommend is that you sample life experiences while you have your job. And here's what I specifically mean by that. When I was in advertising, I knew that I wasn't fulfilled by the job towards the latter end of my advertising career. Therefore, I was doing different life things. I had different life experiences that I was sampling to see what I would enjoy. And the following things are what I did. I did an improv class. I did a stand-up comedy class. And I actually did a routine at Gotham Comedy Club in New York City. I taught a class on real estate investing. That one stuck. I also was interviewed 70 plus people who had remarkable careers within their chosen profession, from the vice president of corporate communications at Southwest Airlines to the soldier of the year for the Army. And I interviewed them and I learned what they did to get to where they're at and their mindset and their mentality, et cetera. And I was going to write a book on it. I still haven't written it. I still haven't published it. I've written a lot of it, but I haven't published it. But I was sampling different experiences in life. And then I was able to identify what I wanted to gravitate towards and put more focus on that. Because if we wait to sample the life experiences until after we make the plunge and we quit our job or we get fired and we have to make a decision, then we're behind the eight ball. We wasted time where someone could be paying us that full-time job, and we could still be testing the waters in what we wanted to do.
And what you're not doing is you're not taking yourself away from your commitment to your employer. So you're doing things in your own time. And what that's doing is that's testing you to see whether you really like speaking to people. Do you like interviewing? Can you stand up in front of people and give a real estate class? Or, you know, God, I tell you, you know, my kudos for standing up with the improv. I think that is probably the scariest thing I could imagine.
Well, I'll tell you, it's funny. When I took the improv class, they said, "Why are you here?" And I told them that I'm here because I want to get better at public speaking. And they said, "Well, you know what? Then finish this improv class, but then don't go do stand-up comedy, because with improv, the barrier is a lot lower for the audience expectations, because they know you're seeing this, you know, broomstick on stage for the first time and now you got to make it funny. So they're going to laugh a lot easier." Yeah. Whereas with stand-up comedy, you've got a microphone, you've got 7 minutes, and you better make people laugh every 7 seconds. And if you don't, then they're not, it's going to be very awkward. So stand-up comedy is by far the biggest personal growth experience I had between those two.
Yes. And again, I'm wondering whether or not, you know, the first chapter of your book should be, if you want to be a successful real estate entrepreneur, then you must learn to be a stand-up comedian. Maybe there's maybe there's that sort of educational channel. And the importance of people guiding you. We talked about leverage and working with other people earlier. Did you find yourself very much on your own from the outset, or did you partner with people to begin with?
I've pretty much partnered with people throughout. And I can tell you, I'm glad you mentioned this. A lot, most people who interview me don't mention this aspect, and I want to call it out and I want to focus on it really quickly. And that is, people usually ask me, you know, how did you go from single families to multifamily homes? And I went from four houses to over 150 unit apartment community. But one thing they don't ask me, and you've touched on it, and I'm glad you did, is what role were partnerships? Because when I think an interesting part is me going from $7 million in real estate, which was after my first apartment deal, to now $135 million. And how did I do that in 18 months?
Yeah.
And how I did it in 18 months is a strategic partnership. And for anyone listening, what I recommend you do when you look for partners is, first, it's a three-step process. First is you have to know what roles and responsibilities are required to make your business successful. Once you know what roles and responsibilities are required to make your business successful, then you've got to look in the mirror and identify what are your special talents within that sphere. And when you know what you're specially talented in, then you've got to bring on, this is a third thing, bring on someone who complements you in areas that you're not as good at. And that's what I did. That's what I went. That's how I went from $7 million to $135 million worth of real estate, because I know I'm good at marketing. I know I'm good at connecting with high net worth individuals and looking at and business plans and looking at the high level opportunity. But I also know that my traditional experience is not that of an asset manager in real estate. Therefore, I partnered with someone who does have that experience. And because we partnered up, I'm able to focus what I'm specially talented in. He's able to focus what he's specially talented in. There's a little bit of overlap, but that's got us from $7 million to $135 million.
And I think that's the only way of doing it, because I think if you try and do it on your own, you fail, and you normally take, you know, other people down with you. The other things I would add to that is just be very careful who you work with in terms of partnership. And I think it's very important for people just to not leap in, because it's very tempting to find someone because you've got someone you can grab onto. He's my partner. Oh, thank God for saving me. But it's, you know, you've got to find out who your partners are. But also, don't go for paper partnerships. And this is a mistake I've made time and time again over the years, where you have a partnership, which is actually, it's something you can talk about, but there's no meaning to it, because it's not a real partnership. It's something where you want to shout about it, but if you drill down to what you're actually going to do for each other, no business will ever come out of it. And so do you ever come across that with people where they talk about how they partnered with this guy or partnered with that, but you know that nothing's ever going to come out of it?
I used to take a lot more calls than I do now. And now I know how I structure partnerships. So I get a lot of people coming to me, hey, Joe, I have access to deals. Can you, maybe we partner up and maybe we do something. I have two paths to take people on. One, if you got an off-market 150 plus unit deal, I'll give you $50,000 when we close on it, if you send it to me and we close on it.
Yeah.
Or two, if you want a partner, then I have a consulting program. You can go apply at XYZ place on my website. And then I'll look at your application, look at your background, and then that's how I partner with people on the other front. Otherwise, I don't do it. And if you and listeners, if we don't have it defined for how we will partner with people, then we're going to come across a whole bunch of different smorgasbord opportunities, and we're going to get sidetracked. And what you said earlier, focus is so important, and we're going to lose our focus.
Yeah. And again, what I also wanted to ask you about is how you work. In other words, what is your focus? What is your regime? What is your MO? In other words, to achieve what you've achieved, to get the 1,000 episodes day in, day out without fail, come rain or shine, how important is that as a message to other people, to be able to achieve what you've achieved? Consistency, focus.
Yeah. I mean, we live in an instant gratification society. We want results immediately, and we want to find the shortcuts. And I'm okay with finding shortcuts where it makes sense. There's no reason to unnecessarily take the long path when you can achieve results in a shorter amount of time and be more effective with your time. But what gets lost in the shuffle is the daily actions that we have to take and how there's a compounding effect when we take those daily actions. And I mean, 1,000 episodes every single day. Now, I don't interview someone every day. I interview, say, 10 people in one day, and then I have the 10 interviews for those next 10 days. So it frees me up to speak with investors and do other things. And so I think the consistency is probably one of my top skill sets. It's not even a freaking skill set. It's just something I'm just determined to do and be consistent. And at this point, I have the world's longest running daily real estate podcast. And I mention that in every episode at the beginning. Therefore, I have social accountability.
Yeah.
And that's another thing when we set goals, when we make ourselves accountable to others by announcing our goals to them, then that helps us maintain that consistency because we don't want to get called out by them.
Exactly. Well, that's, and you know, it is a tremendous achievement, but I mean, I would love to speak to you for, you know, until my hard drive runs out of space, basically. And then we'll go on to the cloud, you know. But, you know, Joe, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show. How do people get in touch with you? How do they buy your book? How do they find out more about you? Where's your channel on YouTube? You know, how do they, if they haven't heard from you, how do they do that?
Yeah. If anyone is interested in passive investment opportunities, then you can go to investwithjoe.com. That's investwithjoe.com and fill out a little bit about yourself. And then I or my team will be in touch with you shortly thereafter. And anyone who is interested in multifamily in general and how to identify markets, then you can email info at joefairless.com. And there's a free resources guide that will send you a bunch of websites, books, things like that. So info at joefairless.com.
Fabulous. Joe, thank you once again. I'm Matthew Sullivan. You've been listening to Hooked on Startups. See you next week.